Good morning. It's reassuring. I know he cares. Good to be with you again, beloved, and as always, it's a joy to be the place where we gather together to remember our Lord Jesus Christ, one who first remembered us, proclaiming his death until he comes, the privilege he's given us to open his word together. Let's read together from the Acts of the Apostles in chapter 6. We've got to read the whole chapter. It's not very long. Of course, we need everything there, plus chapter 7, beginning of chapter 8. We're just going to read chapter 6. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, "It is not fitting that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look among you for 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. We'll give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip and Prochorus and Nicanor and Timon and Parmenas and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of priests were obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of faith and of power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Then there arose a certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines, and Cyrenians and Alexandrians, and of them of Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. Then they suborned men who said, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God." And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council and set up false witnesses who said, "This man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us." And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. Yes, we're going to talk about Stephen today, this dear man of God, and there are a number of firsts as we read this chapter together. This is the first inclination, the first intimation that there were dissension in the church, the New Testament church. I call this the growing pains of the early church. First indication, they were complaining, and there were murmurings. It's the first time we see this dear man of God appear in the scriptures. Stephen, full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. In the Greek, his word means Stephanos, which means crown. When we think of this dear man of God, We think of the New Testament teaching that exhorts us, that calls upon us to be conformed to the image of God's Son. In fact, that's the language that the apostle uses in Romans in chapter 8, that we were predestinated to be conformed to the image of God's Son. And that's God's purpose and plan for His people here and now. And as we examine the life of this dear man of God, we would find that he was living in the light of that precious truth. The first time we introduced to the office of deacon in the New Testament church, though they were not directly called deacons, but to serve means to be a deacon. And that's what the apostle says. We should not leave the word of God and deacon tables. That's what it really means. As we look at this man of God, first of all, we're going to look at his introduction. And in each case, we'll find that he is in the image of Christ. He represents Christ. He mirrors the life of Christ that we are called upon to live here on this earth. His introduction. Then we're going to look at his interrogation. How they accused him of various things. And then we're going to look at his imitation. Imitation of his Lord. Imitation of Christ. And Paul says we are to be imitators of Christ. As Christians, we are to mimic the life of Christ. In his introduction, beloved, we are told that he was full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. It seems that these are prerequisites for service. And when the disciples, the elders, if you will, when they call upon the church to look among you, and that's how we get people from the body of Christ to serve, because those who are leaders need to understand, need to have, as it were, the pulse of the assembly, and we need to know who they are, who these men are, so that we can lay our hands on them. Look among you. Too often in so many places, we are looking for men, but we are looking for worldly qualifications. Oh, he will make a good deacon because he's been successful, and maybe he will. Oh, he's been around a long time, he understands. But when they were called upon to look for men, they were looking for men who were honest, men who were full of the Holy Spirit. These seem to be prerequisites for the service of our Lord in the New Testament church. Why do I say he is like our Lord in his introduction? Because the Lord Jesus Christ, as he was introduced in his public ministry, first of all, he was full of the Holy Spirit. We find that his baptism, this Holy Spirit came down upon him in the form of a dove, and it lighted upon him. And right after that, it says, he was full of the Holy Spirit, and he was led by the Spirit of God into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. His introduction in public ministry, we find he was full of the Holy Spirit. But a prophet, Isaiah, tells us that when he comes, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. As the seed of David, as the branch of David and the stem of Jesse, according to Isaiah chapter 11, it says, there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. That's describing our Lord in both his advents. First, his coming to this earth as a babe. The Son of Man, we heard that this morning. Branch of Jesse, a stem of Jesse, a branch of David, from the root of David. That was our Lord. This speaks of the Lord, and it speaks also of his coming to reign, to set up his kingdom here on this earth. As he was introduced as the one that was full of the Holy Spirit. In that regard, the introduction of Stephen was that like our Lord. The prophet also tells us in chapter 61 of Isaiah that the Spirit of the Lord, God, is upon me. Because the Lord hath anointed me to preach the good tidings unto the meek, and he hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance, which involves his second advent, the day of vengeance of our God, and to comfort all that mourn. When the Lord Jesus came to the scene and he went into the synagogue in Luke chapter 4, he read this scripture, this very scripture. He turned to the book of Isaiah and he read this very scripture. And he ended his reading to preach, to proclaim the acceptable day of the Lord. That's the day of grace. And he closed the book. And he said to the audience, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. His introduction to public ministry, he was full of the Holy Spirit. He was prepared to serve. And when Stephen came on the scene, he too was full of wisdom and full of the Holy Spirit. And you and I, beloved, we are called upon to be conformed to the image of Christ. And Paul tells the Corinthian saints, be followers of me. You can mimic me insofar as I mimic Christ. In my conduct, my behavior, in my ministry, what we need is among the people of God, spirit-filled servants, men full of the Holy Spirit and of wisdom. And I am not discounting secular wisdom, but beloved, sometimes that wisdom, the Bible says in James chapter 3, it is demonical, it's devilish. Sometimes it is. But the wisdom that cometh down from above is first pure. Pure. And that's the kind of wisdom that the leaders of the church were looking for. And that's the kind of wisdom they saw in the man called Stephen as he is introduced to us in public ministry. The Spirit of the Lord. Son of Christ, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Stephen, the dear man of God, is full of the Holy Spirit. Not only do we have the introduction of Stephen, but we also have the interrogation of Stephen. And as you look at the interrogation of Stephen, you would find also that is similar to the interrogation of our Lord as he was taken from place to place, as he was accused on so many occasions of falsehood. First of all, in his interrogation, Stephen, that is, a band of Jews, recently freed Grecian Jews, I would suppose, they seem to were in opposition to this dear man of God. They seem to belong to a particular synagogue, it's called the Synagogue of the Libertines. And they came from various areas, Cyrenians, city in Africa, Alexandrians, there, the seaport of Egypt. And they came from Asia Minor, Cilicia, Asia, and they disputed with Stephen. They disputed with Stephen. They accused him of so many things. They seemed to have a vested interest in destroying his credibility. They were religious people. They belonged to a synagogue. They came from a different parts. One of the things they did, they suborned perjury. They bribed others to lie about the man because they had no credible evidence against him. And beloved, you and I, if we are involved in the service of the Lord, we have to watch ourselves. We have to be guarded. We have to be careful. Not only should we be involved in evil, but we should shun the very appearance of evil. And here was a man who, by all accounts, was a godly man, yet there are those who were willing to accuse him. There are those who were willing to go against their own religion. The things that they say they believe, they claim to be defenders of the law. And they broke the law by bearing false witness against their neighbor. People go to any lengths to destroy you because they are energized by the devil. Induced others, solicit others to lie. We have a legal system, we call it subornation of perjury in our system. This suborned men. They lied under oath. Wow. They lied under oath. They incite the people to mob justice. They were not interested in the truth. You know what verse 10 says? They were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. And I think of that dear man of God, and he would stand and he would speak in the liberty and in the energy of the Holy Spirit. And the more accusations they bring, the more they were confused. They could not resist. And that is like our Lord. Many times, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the elders and so many would bring accusations against him. And he would just say, well, let me ask you a question.
Let me ask you a question. They try to confuse him. They try to get him against Rome and says, oh, you don't have to pay tribute to Caesar. And Jesus said, well, show me a coin. And they would leave his presence absolutely confused, not knowing what to do. They could not resist. He would do things, and they would leave, and they would say, we have never seen it in this fashion. They would send soldiers to arrest him. And he would tell them of the bread of life that cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat and not die. He would tell them of the water of life symbolizing the Holy Spirit. And the soldiers would return to their superiors and they would ask them, why did you not bring him? And their response was, never a man spoke like this man. Like his Lord. They were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. That's power, beloved. That's not because he was worldly wise. It's because he was full of wisdom from above. Because he was full of the Holy Spirit. You know what Jesus promises people? In Luke 21, I read that and I said, yeah, that's it. Not only in time to come, beloved, but even now we speak in the Spirit, in the fullness of the Spirit of God. In Luke chapter 21, verse 15, Jesus said, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to contradict, nor withstand. Nor withstand. And so Peter tells us in our presentation, in our ministry, in our teaching, he says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God gives, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ our Lord. They suborned men, they induced, they solicited men to lie, to commit perjury. They incite the people to mob justice, yet they could not resist the wisdom by which he spoke. Verse 13 tells us, and they set up false witnesses who said, this man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. Does that sound familiar? Let me read it again. They said, this is part of the accusation, this man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and against the law. It sounds like something they said about the Lord Jesus during the mockery of his trial. This man here standing, he promised to destroy this temple. What they're saying here, that Jesus would do that. This is said about Jesus. He said he will destroy this temple that was made with hands, and that he would build it again in 3 days. He was going to build a temple without hands. Jesus said he was going to destroy the temple, but he was not speaking of the temple of Jerusalem. He was speaking of the temple of his body. He was speaking of his death and of his resurrection. One of the final accusations that they brought against him as he was sentenced to death. He says, you who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save thyself and us, if thou be the Christ, the Son of God.
Stephen endured all those things, all the interrogation of the evil one, and so did our Lord. So in this respect, he was in the image of Christ. He was representing his Lord. We read in Matthew chapter 26, for instance, Matthew 26, those are the same accusations. I quoted them, so we won't spend any more time on them, but just let you know they're really here. Verse 59 says, "Now the chief priests and elders and all the council sought false witnesses." Isn't that what we have in Acts chapter 6? They sought false witnesses against Jesus to put him to death. "But found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none." They contradicted themselves. At the last came two false witnesses, and they talk about the temple which we just mentioned. So the high priest, "You're not answering. You're not." You know, Jesus was not going to dignify those false accusations with an answer. But then the high priest put him under oath and said, "You tell us. You want the truth?" You know, you remember that movie when the guy says, "I'm after the truth," and the guy says in the witness box, "You can't handle the truth." I know you know what I'm talking about. Or pretend you don't know, you know what I'm talking about. "Tell us whether you are the Son of God, you are the Christ, you are the Messiah." Jesus says, "I am." You want the truth? He cannot deny himself. He says, "Thou sayest that I am." And they used the truth to condemn him. They couldn't handle the truth. Not only he said, "I am," but you said, "You're going to see me in the future. I'm going to come." What need have we of further witnesses? "You have heard his blasphemy." Blasphemy? The book of Isaiah, we read that, "Woe unto those who call the truth a lie and a lie the truth." They were calling the truth a lie. They were calling the truth blasphemy. Woe unto them. "Say, I'm coming again." They could not handle the truth. It's there clear also in Mark chapter 14. John chapter 10, there were those who seemed to be getting along with him, and they were impressed by the miracles that he was doing. And so they asked him plainly, "Tell us whether you are the Son of God or not." He says, "I am, and I and my Father are one." And they took up stones to stone him. And Jesus said to them, "Many good works for my Father I have shown you. For which of these works do you stone me?" And they said, "For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because thou being a man, makest thyself God." The devil has a way of twisting things around. He was not a man who made himself God, but he was God who became a man. God who became a man. He took on him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. He came obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. But that's like the devil, to turn things around. They couldn't handle the truth. Stephen in verse 15, "All that sat at the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel." This is the reflective glory of God. And beloved, when you and I are in the presence of God, we are, the Bible says, we are changed from glory to glory, as by the Spirit of God, according to the 2 Corinthians chapter 3. from glory to glory. They saw his face because he was constantly in the presence of the Lord. Jesus says, you need to abide in me. When you abide in me, you're going to bear fruit. When my word abide in you, you're going to produce fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit. And there were lots of that in the life and ministry of Stephen. So he was introduced on the scene, full of the Holy Spirit, full of wisdom. He faced interrogation by his enemies, enemies of the cross of Christ, those who sought to discredit him. Beloved, when we are going through trials, because we are in the work of the Lord, because we're seeking to serve the Lord, we need not get discouraged, because there must be something we are doing right to please the Lord while the enemy wants to attack you. There must be something. If we're just slackers and just going on and not hurting anyone but not offending anyone and not preaching Christ and things like that, minding our own business as they want us to do, they're not going to bother you. They're not going to bother you. But take a stand for Christ. Defend the faith. Defend the inspiration of the Scriptures. Defend the virgin birth of Christ. Defend that God's purpose for in this world for men and women is to be married and to reproduce, not for men and men. You would be attacked. You got to do the right thing in order to be attacked. And I think I heard of John Wesley one day. Nothing happened to him, and he was worried and started to confess. I wonder what I did wrong today. I didn't represent Christ. Nobody attacked me. But Jesus says, if they persecute me, they'll persecute you. They that live godly in this life will suffer persecution. It's here in the life of Stephen. But we go over to chapter 7 and we find his imitation. His mimicking his Lord by the things he say, by the actions he takes. You know, the Lord Jesus, as he faced the city of Jerusalem in Matthew chapter 23, he said these words, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and you stone those who were sent unto you, how often would I have gathered you together as a hen doth gather her chickens under her wings, but ye would not." That's what he said. What did Stephen say as he recited the history of the children of Israel? It's a beautiful chapter. I hope you read it, chapter 7, but let's just read a couple of verses because that's all we have time for. Bear in mind what the Lord Jesus said to Jerusalem. This is what Stephen said to the people here, the Jews, the residents of that same Jerusalem. Which of the prophets, verse 52, have not your fathers persecuted and they have slain them? Who showed before of the coming of the just one, of whom ye have now been the betrayers and the murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. You broke the law. You killed the prophets. You stoned those who were sent. That's exactly what Jesus said. He mimics his Lord in the presentation of the gospel. Stephen, verse 58 says, and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. They stoned him. You know, many times they took up stones to stone the Lord Jesus, but they couldn't. Because the Bible says that he would hang on a tree.
They wanted to stone him, but they couldn't. So he, bearing his cross, went out of the city, outside the city, to a hill called Golgotha, outside the city. They led him away beneath the load of his cross. And the writer to the Hebrews tells us, beloved, that Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate of Jerusalem, outside the city gate, outside the religious circles. Stephen, they cast him out of the city and stoned him, mimicking his Lord in the image of Christ. Paul the Apostle reminds us, beloved, that he too was in the image of the Lord. As he closes the epistle to the Galatians and all the things that he went through, these are some of the last words he spoke in that epistle. It says, henceforth, let no man trouble me. Don't you try to change me, because I bear in my body the brand marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am his willing slave, and I have the marks to prove it. We talk a lot, but do we have the marks to prove that we have been in battle, that we belong to the Lord? He mimicked his Lord, Stephen. They cast him out. They led Jesus away outside the city, according to John chapter 19. They led him to a place of a skull. Stephen, he died calling upon the name of the Lord. Is this mimicking the Lord? Look at verse 59. They stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Look at the way he died. They were stoning him while he was praying for them. And they were crucifying our Lord while he was praying for them. Stephen, first Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They were crucifying him at that point in time. He was praying for them. He was more than just praying. He was making supplication. He was calling their names. That's what Isaiah the prophet tells us in 53. He made intercession for the transgressors. Here is that dear servant of the Lord. Verse 60, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. In the image of his Lord in life and in death. Stephen, verse 59, chapter 7. They stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. He commits his spirit to his Lord in death. The Lord Jesus, how did he die? Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Stephen fell asleep. Jesus dismissed his spirit. That's mimicking his Lord. That's following his Lord. That's being conformed to the image of Christ in life and in death. Songwriter says, I love thee in life and I love thee in death. I'll praise thee as long as thou lendest me breath. A singer, the dewdrops lay cold on my brow. If ever I love thee, Lord Jesus, it's now. Or you can substitute, it's thou who art worthy. Lord Jesus, it's thou. Oh, I got to bring the last point. I'm going to skip everything else and take 2 minutes. This is it, beloved. Stephen in his death, mimicking his Lord. Look at chapter 8. I'm only going to take 2 minutes. And Saul, consenting unto his death, and at that time there was great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles and devout men. This is what I want to bring. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial. Devout men carried Stephen to his burial. All those men who were dedicated, who were followers of Christ, who believed, who were of like precious faith, they carried Stephen to his burial. What it has to do with our Lord, John 19, and we're closing with this. I can't leave this out, so forgive me for taking 2 minutes extra. John 19. Devout men took Stephen to his burial. Verse 38. After this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus, and there came also Nicodemus, devout men, who at the first came to Jesus by night and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight, and they took the body of Jesus and wound it in a linen clothes with spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden and so on. And they laid Jesus, therefore. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation. Devout men took Jesus to his burial. Joseph of Arimathea says he did not agree to the council to put Jesus to death. He did not agree with them. Nicodemus stood up for Jesus and said, does our law condemn a man before it hears him? In his death, they were there. Devout men took Stephen to his burial. Devout men took Jesus to his burial. In the image of the Lord. 10 seconds to read a line. Oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer. This is my constant longing and prayer. Gladly I'll forfeit all of earth's treasures, Jesus, thy perfect likeness to wear. Oh, to be like thee. Oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer. Pure as thou art, come in thy sweetness. Come in thy fullness. Stamp thine own image deep in my heart. You and I were predestinated to be conformed to the image of God's Son. Father, we thank thee for bringing us together. We thank thee for giving us thy word. We thank thee for all that we have seen and all that thou hast taught us, that thou art faithful
And them that honor me will I honor. And them that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. We look at a man today who truly honored the Lord, so much so that the heavens were open and he saw Jesus standing on the right hand of God. What a picture, because he had prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. We thank thee for Stephen. We thank thee for faithful men in the church, men of the word, men who are faithful to the word and faithful to the charge, faithful to the teachings of the scripture. We ask thy continued blessing on those men, many of them here and other places, who would defend the truth. We give thee thanks and ask thy blessing now as we part the one from the other. Watch over us, Lord, and take us to our respective homes in peace and in safety. And may we resolve from our hearts not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We pray and give thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.